Welcome to the Bible Story Podcast.
Welcome to the Bible Story Podcast. My name is John Draper, and my friend, co-host, and an all-round great guy with me today is Braden Polch.
Ah, so kind. I am so excited every week after the story. We have a growth tip, and you, John, have told me that you have a few jingle options for us today. And I get to hear them for the first time. I'm so excited.
Yes, I do. You should be excited. You know, it was your threat last week of playing the spoons for a jingle was, you know, that was enough motivation for me to put something together. Just a few jingles, a few options.
I mean, John, the listeners might not know, but you have a degree in music. And so you're very talented. And so I'm expecting some like harmonies, some guitar strums, some drum solos.
Yeah, let's not get the expectations too high here.
No, they're already there.
All right.
Okay, so, you know what we could do? We could actually just like reverse the order and do the growth tip first and then get into the lesson.
I don't think so. You know, you're just going to have to be patient, Braden. Today, the lesson is...
Jesus invites us into whatever you do. It's such a bizarre lesson considering the text.
Okay. We can only go at a normal pace.
I just want to get to the... Fine.
So let's just be in the moment.
Okay.
Chill.
Be in the mo.
Be in the mo. Whatever. You and your hipster words.
Yeah, I know. Okay. So Jesus invites us into unusual unity, which is kind of a bizarre lesson considering the text that you've chosen for us this week.
Agreed. But you have to admit that aligning ourselves with Christ is very different than what most do in our world today. So imagine how incredible it would be if everyone simply attempted to align themselves with Christ.
And by alignment, you're talking about unity. That's where the invites us into unusual unity.
Mm-hmm, that's right. So today's story, it takes place in Jericho. News had spread quickly about Jesus' arrival, and just like the other places Jesus had been to, everyone wanted to hear him teach and watch him heal.
Now, what was so unusual about Jesus specifically is that people, accused him of spending so much time with sinners. We see that in several different places throughout the scriptures. Or at least everyone, thought of them as sinners. It was
right.
Like a mob mentality or a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
So one of these groups that people thought very poorly of and considered sinners and kind of crooked people were the tax collectors.
That's right. You know, now we have to remember the Roman Empire, they were in charge. They occupied much of the known world at this time. And being the ruling empire, they required taxes from everyone and in all the nations. So they were in charge. They were the top dog.
So they would hire local people to be the tax collectors. Those tax collectors would literally go door to door to take the money. And they would often collect, more than they needed and only give the Romans what was required. And then they would pocket the rest or keep the extra money for themselves.
Right. So at least, knowing this, it seems obvious why the people consider tax collectors sinners, or if we were to use a more familiar language for us today, we would call them crooked or crooks.
I don't know if that's necessarily more familiar. Maybe to like your generation.
What are you saying?
Nothing. Okay, let's get on to the story.
All right.
Okay, so Jesus and his peeps were walking through Jericho.
Peeps? you and your generation's words. You are so hip with your words, Braden. Okay, so quick question.
Okay.
If you were part of the Jesus' disciples, that group, what trendy word would you have come up with to describe that group?
What about the God Squad? Think about it. You could have they could all wear jean jackets with the God Squad on the back. Ah, oh, that'd be sweet.
You could make t-shirts like it was summer camp.
Ugh, everything. Everything needs t-shirts. I mean, you'd probably need like a Greek or Hebrew equivalent.
Which would be?
I don't know. Don't speak either of those languages.
Maybe you can like use Google Translate later and you can figure it out and post it.
You could call them the meat and Greeks.
Oh, goodness. All right.
I like that one.
All right. On with this story.
He knew the Hebrews.
Oh, my goodness. All right. On with the story before we get too far derailed.
Okay. So Jesus and his God squad were walking through Jericho, and this super short man who was a tax collector wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus.
His name was Zacchaeus, and since he was too short, he could not see over the crowds. So he runs ahead, climbs a tree, and from that vantage point, he could see Jesus coming.
It's really interesting and kind of funny that, historically speaking, we know that people were smaller back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so Zacchaeus would have then had to have been even smaller.
Right.
So like, so like maybe very like small. 3 feet, 4 feet.
I have no idea.
I don't know either. Anyway, so as Jesus is passing by, he sees Zacchaeus in the tree and he calls him specifically by name. Now, okay, another rabbit trail.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever wonder how he knew his name?
Well, I mean, that part of the story seems kind of crazy. I mean, he just somehow knows his name. Maybe he overheard people in the crowds or had a conversation with someone else, or maybe even a conversation with Zacchaeus before.
Or, hear me out.
Okay.
Maybe Jesus then just knew his name because Jesus is also God.
Right.
And so, I mean, the text doesn't specifically say this, but God's all-knowing, and so Jesus could have been all-knowing and might have known Zacchaeus, his name, and called him from the tree because of that knowledge.
That's a very, very likely possibility. So I think that the crucial point for us to know is that Jesus was calling him by name.
Mm-hmm.
And so amidst all of the hustle and bustle of the crowd, Jesus stopped and he looked at Zacchaeus standing in that tree. And, you know, remember Zacchaeus being one of the most hated people in the area, you know, rightly or wrongly.
Yeah.
We don't actually know, but we do know that he was a tax collector.
Yeah. And that people didn't really, you know, obviously take too kindly to that. And he wasn't just any tax collector. He wasn't your friendly neighborhood tax collector. But Zacchaeus was actually the chief tax collector. So he like organized all the stuff. I'm sure he heard all kinds of mean and hurtful things said about him. I think that's also a really interesting point, is when Jesus calls him specifically by his name, Zacchaeus might not have been ever called his name or in a kind way before. Mm. You know, he had to have been a smart man to be in this role. He knew everyone's opinion of him. It would have been kind of well-known knowledge. But in spite of all of that, Jesus, you know, calling him by name, I mean, that would have felt like something different. That would have felt special or particular, or, as we said, unusual.
Hmm.
You know, I bet the crowd probably grew very quiet or silent quickly, just even hearing this and noticing the difference that Jesus was speaking in, the change in the atmosphere with such a hated, despised person, a sinner, you know, as scripture describes it.
Yeah. And then Jesus said to him, so he calls him by name and then he says to him, "Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." So I think you're absolutely right. I think the crowd is blown away that Jesus is not only publicly interacting with Zacchaeus, but is going to be the guest of what everybody thought of as a notorious sinner.
So Zacchaeus had already climbed down, like quite quickly as Jesus had commanded, and was taking Jesus to his house as a guest. You know, no cell phones, can't call home and say, "Hey, clean up real fast." Like, just so obedient to what was happening. I love that. And we need to remember that homes, particularly of wealthy people, which Zacchaeus was, would have been much more of like kind of a public meeting space. There would have been courtyards and spaces where people would have met or been able to be in the home of Zacchaeus or the wealthy person. Much different than kind of how North America is. So as Jesus and Zacchaeus are walking to the home, they're followed by the crowd of people who hated Zacchaeus. You know, and the crowd then gathers outside of his house and in the courtyards of his house, and they're filling this place, this outdoor living area or courtyard, so they could watch Jesus and Zacchaeus spend time together, be, you know, whether it's eating lunch or being guests, yeah. You know?
So everybody's eyes are on the two men and probably a few other guests like the disciples and maybe a few of Zacchaeus's friends.
Right.
But they were probably eating and enjoying each other's company.
Telling jokes.
Probably. At least if you had been part of the God Squad, you would have been.
Yeah.
but I'm sure Jesus continued to teach and challenge Zacchaeus personally as well. And toward the end of the story, Zacchaeus stands up and gets the crowd's attention.
So he gets the crowd's attention and he says, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. Lord, and if I have cheated these people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much.
So Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost.
Zacchaeus figured out an excellent response to Jesus, and he followed through with it.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible when you think about Zacchaeus' response.
Mm-hmm.
He will either become penniless really quickly, or everybody had the wrong idea of him in the first place, and him cheating them on their taxes, and how he maybe became so wealthy.
Right. And so, regardless of what the crowd had thought of him beforehand, you know, as crooked and a tax collector and sinful, they now see him aligning himself with Jesus in this moment and how he had become a generous person. He stood up and spoke about giving people money or giving back if he had cheated, and not just giving back any amount, but four times the amount. Now, John,
mm-hmm.
you and I, neither one of us would be considered specifically wealthy people by North American standards.
Sure.
But even with that, I cannot imagine giving half of that away, half of my wealth away.
Hmm. But that's what Zacchaeus does, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he has become unified with Christ, not just in that action, but by his heart changing. And that action is the evidence of his heart changing.
Yeah. And it's such an amazing transformation, not only in Zacchaeus, but in the crowd around him. So, okay, I think I can see where we're going with this lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus invites us to unusual unity. But for other people in the room, the other people that are in the room that might not understand it fully.
There's just you and I.
No, I understand it fully, but other people in the room that don't understand it fully, could you just connect the dots for us?
Well, I appreciate your transparency.
And by us, I mean them. Not me, specifically.
I appreciate your transparency and on understanding everything here. But anyway, I think Jesus calls us to align ourselves like he called Zacchaeus to align ourselves with him, to change the way we think and thus the way we live, to maybe even submit our lives to him as Lord. So Zacchaeus did this well. On the other hand, the crowd loved what Jesus was saying and doing, but the author does not indicate at all, one way or the other, that they submitted their lives to Christ as Zacchaeus did.
Right. I mean, they had thought that the worst of Zacchaeus, and we don't know how their lives were changed or how they stayed the same after or during that event. Okay, but then what's so unusual about being unified with Christ?
Okay, so I've given this quite a bit of thought since, you know, I kind of wrote this script for us this week.
Right.
But I see two things that make unity with Christ unusual compared to the stuff we align ourselves with in our world today.
Okay.
So first of all, Christ redefines our pursuits when we align ourselves with him. So take Zacchaeus, for example. He was wealthy and was getting wealthier. And he would continue to earn a lot of money as a tax collector. But instead of using that money for himself, of keeping it for himself, He now earned money to benefit the poor. He was giving half his money away to the poor rather than keeping it for himself. So whatever it is we are pursuing, whether it be money, whether it be something else that we might be pursuing, Christ will use it for his purpose if we allow him to.
Hmm.
So the second thing that I see as so unusual is how attractive our lives become. So think about Zacchaeus for a moment. Nobody liked him. Whether they had the correct idea of who he was on the inside of Zacchaeus, his heart, or not, everyone thought he was a scoundrel, a crook, a sinner, because, well, he was a tax collector, and he was the chief tax collector.
Mm-hmm.
So after Christ was his guest, he said he would give half his wealth to the poor. So people talked about Zacchaeus' commitment to giving to the poor. They would later think highly of him because of his generosity that they saw that day and eventually would experience through his giving.
Hmm.
So I think the crowd would later at least become transformed by Christ through Zacchaeus's generosity, which was pretty incredible.
And not only his generosity, but also the people in the crowd that witnessed such a distinct change.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I kind of like this idea of, like, you know, we talked earlier in the podcast about mob mentality and how everyone thought one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And not only would you then see a change in Zacchaeus giving his wealth differently, but you'd also then slowly see the change in that mob mentality from thinking he was a terrible person to thinking, like, hey, this guy's giving to us.
Right.
Right. And everyone would start thinking differently. And so that it kind of brings to the point, like, being unified with Christ will redefine people's pursuits around God's purpose. You know, it'll turn people's lives from a self-serving life to one that is about loving others. We see that both in Zacchaeus, you know, recommitting his money to the poor, but also the poor then loving him differently, you know, sharing in that relationship differently. It takes it from selfish to selfless.
Yes, you said it well. You know, unity with Christ is unusual, but if you think about the outcomes that come from it, it's so, so good.
Yeah, it's amazing. So our lesson is over and I have been very patient, as you asked me to, and I am ready to hear these jingles that you have perfectly put together.
All right. This is a lot of fun. You're going to have fun with it, but you're going to be part of these jingles. You're going to kind of be the voice over.
So they're not finished products. Like,
You know, they're getting there. They're getting there. Yeah.
Okay. I was promised finished products. That's fine.
Well, so for this first one, I need you to think cowboy, all right? Western,
okay.
Country. So you need to have a cowboy accent.
A drawl?
Sure, that'll work. And and so when I give you the signal, you need to...
What am I supposed to say?
Something like, yeehaw.
Oh, okay.
It's time for the growth tip. All right, you ready?
I am ready. Let's do this. I'm hesitant. Yeehaw! It's the growth tip time.
Hey, that was really good. I like that.
I did. I did not.
What do you mean you didn't like that?
John, that was so anticlimactic. There wasn't even music in that jingle. It was just horse hooves clopping.
All right. Okay, I have another one.
Okay.
You'll like this one.
Okay.
Okay. Think, like a very proper private school. It's time to change activities or classes, maybe.
Okay.
And you're going to hear something and you're making an announcement over the PA.
Okay. Location?
You get to pick the location. Let's say it's in Europe, maybe Britain.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I can do that. Right. I think.
Okay.
I'm not great with accents. Attention, children. It is the time for our growth tip. Oh, I went Scottish there.
All right. I don't know if you're offending all of our listeners around the world, but
I apologize. I'm not Scottish, yes. Nor whatever the first part of that was.
Yes. Really, you're just making fun of yourself, which I appreciate.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. What'd you think of that one? It was good. That was better.
I mean,
it was better.
There was a note in there, bell chime.
Yeah, yeah.
More so than a foot clop.
So no good.
I'm not super impressed right now.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
We got one more?
One more.
Okay.
We're going to give it. You got to really give it your best shot.
Okay.
This has kind of got a bit of a Spanish flair. You were talking yesterday about spoons.
Yes.
And, or not yesterday, last week, I should say, about spoons and threatening to use spoons as their jingle. And, you know, that kind of inspired me. So I put this one together for you.
Perfect.
All right, here we go.
Es tiempo de punta de Sacramento.
Do you even know what that means?
Yeah, it's growth tip time in Spanish.
Really?
Yeah, I took Spanish in high school.
Wow.
I also Googled it.
Because it's been a while.
It's been a while. I do know tiempo means time.
Very cool.
And ace means is. So I pretty much got it right.
I'm sure somebody's going to correct us.
I know. I don't think I got the last word right at all.
I hope you weren't offensive with that last word.
I'm so sorry if I was.
But what did you think of that one? That was good. That was rhythmic. It, you know, it was musical.
It had spoons.
Spoons, just like you asked for. Yeah. Threatened.
Yeah,
with.
Threatened. Okay, so I just... okay, here's the thing. I don't want to be... My first rule of brainstorming is no judgment in brainstorming.
Well, this is beyond brainstorming, though, right?
So yeah.
You can judge.
Okay, so...
I'm asking for it.
Yeah, we're not going to use any of those.
What?
No.
You didn't like any of it?
I mean, I liked... No,
all
I
right.
didn't.
All right.
John, you got a music degree, man.
This just got really uncomfortable. But that's fine. I mean...
I want to hear some... Can you play the violin?
No, I can't. All right, Brain, I am just messing with you.
Okay, good. I thought you were. I expected more from you.
Okay, I am finishing up the jingle.
Perfect.
And it's going to be ready later this week. You can have the first listen, and then we'll use it next week if, of course, you approve of it.
Okay, pending my approval. I like that.
And you're going to love it. I know you are.
I'm so nervous. Okay, well, John, you did set the bar on the ground, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I dug a hole and set the bar in it so that I can get over it.
So anything we get, even if it's an untrained violin play, will be better. So anyway, it's time for our growth tip. And this is a time that John and I like to share with you guys a way to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's you guys and us. We take part in these things.
Excellent. You know, I'm so glad that you nailed that introduction.
Yes.
You know, you did well.
Thanks.
And we don't even need to have any post-production with that because there's like no jingle part of it. So I'm thrilled.
I'm packing my spoons next week, just in case.
Just in case. All right.
Okay. So our growth tip for today, again, is very simple. We've taken a very simple approach for this the first couple weeks here in January, which I appreciate. It goes like this. Jesus tells us his purpose in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And it says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost." Now, we want you to take some time and reflect on how well your life aligns with this purpose. The idea that saving those who are lost, just as Jesus, the Son of Man, came to do.
So do some writing in your journal and pray about this and see how God begins to mold your heart around his purpose of saving those who are lost.
No one is ever perfectly aligned with Christ. It's, again, a growth tip. We continue to grow in this thing. So, but to challenge yourself, list one or two things that would help you be more unified with Christ and his purpose.
Hey guys, we appreciate you taking the time out of your day and spending it with us. You are amazing. If you'd like to read the story for yourself, you can find it in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10.
And remember, if you guys think that this story or our podcast would benefit anybody else, if you think that we're funny and want to share that, then please do that with your friends. I think we're funny and I share this all the time. So be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and give us a hunky-dory follow on Instagram at The Bible Story Pod.
Hey, remember, there's nothing more important than a growing relationship with Jesus Christ.
Ah, I slipped the words hunky-dory past John. He didn't even notice. Okay, until next time, have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Bible Story Podcast. There is nothing more important than a growing relationship with Jesus. Share this with a friend and have a great discussion.